Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. By the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank Him for His love. Thank Him for His kindness. Can you be deliberate about that? Go ahead and speak to the Father. Tell Him how grateful you are. Deliberately, go ahead and talk to the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege again tonight to be called into your presence, to lift up holy hands, to worship you, to honor you, to magnify your name. Precious Lord, we ask even tonight that you pour of your Spirit upon us. We ask that burdens and yokes will be lifted, and we ask that you bring direction, clarity to lives and destinies, even as you glorify yourselves in our lives, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to sincerely honor God's servant and his wife for raising this platform that the Lord may be glorified and for their impact in the lives of people. Can we please celebrate our Father tonight? God's servant, evangelist, Andy Ikeide and his dear wife, Pastor Mrs. Faith Ikeide. Thank you so much. It's always a blessing to be here. I want to celebrate and honor the provincial pastor of the RCCG that is here with us tonight, Pastor Olaniyan. Thank you so much. It's good to see you again, sir. God bless you richly. And I sincerely want to honor the Tonami State pastor that is here with us this evening. Such an honor to have you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mama. And all the ministers of God that are here, the president of Women of Vision is here. Mama, God bless you. It's so good to see you again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tonight is not a night of revelations, it's a night of praise. So I'll be sharing with us very briefly, and then I'll step out of the way so we continue praising and giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Abba Father. Give me a little more volume on the keyboard. Omega. It means beginning, end. It's not beginning and end. It's actually beginning, end. So he is in the beginning and at the end at the same time. The reason is because if God were to leave any iota of time, that region will collapse. Everything holds because he is in all times, at all times. So God is not beginning and end. He is beginning end. As we are talking now, He is already at the end. And He is still at the beginning. If God leaves the beginning to go to the beginning will collapse. And if the beginning collapses, the end will also collapse. So God has to be at all times, in all times, for all time to exist. So God is a constant motion. Because of this, we cannot afford to be stagnant. And so the concept of the new dawn is not a religious cliche. It's the reality of a believer. That we keep migrating from one level of glory to another level of glory. We are not designed to be at one spot. We are designed to evolve into glories in excellence. Because the totality of God is open to us to explore. And so the journey of the believer is one that must be progressive. The Bible speaking in Psalm 84 verse 7, it said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. In Proverbs 4:18, it said the path of a just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Israel left Egypt and they were led by the glory of the Lord. And a point came, they were on one mountain, Deuteronomy 2:3, and he said, you have encompassed this mountain for too long. It's time to go northward. So God is not about his people staying in one spot. If where you are is not good, this is the season to move forward. And if where you are is good, it's still not good enough because there is a better place. And so, wherever you are, whatever you are going through, God wants you to excel and to constantly excel. But you see, sometimes in order to go forward, there will be contention. And this is why many persons, although it is God's will for them to migrate, they are not migrating. Because battles and warfare are designed to keep you at one spot. But the good news this morning is that we are more than conquerors. We are not trying to conquer. We are called to inherit the spoils. The one who is the conqueror is the one that hung on the cross. Is the one that died. Is the one that was buried. Is the one that rose again. We were not called to conquer.
We are more than conquerors. He conquered, he invited us, he gave us a trophy for us to celebrate. And so tonight, somebody must go forward. Oh, I'm trying to establish this foundation so you don't think it's part of religion for us to formulate topics that we have to talk about. No, this is the reality. There will be contentions, but you are an overcomer. You know, the Bible speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24, it told to the children of Israel, it said, rise thee up. It said, take up thy journey and go beyond the river Arnon. It said, behold, I have given unto you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon. It said, begin to contend with him in battle and possess the land. And while they were yet going, he said to them, behold, I have put my dread upon you. When the nations see you, they paralyze. So you are going thinking you are going to fight, but he has already gone ahead of you. He has procured the victory. You are just entering into the spoil. And I make bold to tell someone tonight, tonight is the end of that crisis. Tonight is the end of that affliction. Tonight is the last day you will remain where you are. You will go to higher levels of glory by the Spirit of the living God. It's not a night of revelation. And so I will just share something with you briefly so we can praise God. There are actually 7 spiritual operations that activate a new dawn. Because we don't have much time, my time ends by 2. Because we don't have too much time, I will pick one of the 7 and then I will explain tonight. And then we praise God with understanding. Hallelujah. And so what I'll deal with tonight are spiritual laws as a basis of activating new dawns. Spiritual laws. There are many things, many dimensions in God that provokes new dimensions, new dawns, new orders. But one of the most potent are spiritual laws. Laws have no regard for persons. Anybody that obeys them, they produce the same result for those people. And so this is one of the surest ways of transiting into higher dimensions of glory, which is our emphasis this morning. And so I will be touching just 4 laws that, if activated in your life, will of necessity bring you into a new dimension. Hallelujah. Are you ready tonight to activate these laws? Praise God. The first of the laws I will speak about this morning is the law of prophecy. Every time God wants to move a people to a new dimension, he activates the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is one of the vehicles of the spirit of moving an individual or a generation to the next level. The reason many are not making progress, even though we have this robust spiritual arsenal, is because they don't understand the potency and the efficacy of prophecy. And so even when prophecies are coming in their direction, they are still waiting for something to happen. When the prophecy comes, something has happened. The prophecy is the vehicle. The prophecy is the answer. And this is one of God's methodology of moving a generation forward. And so tonight, aside the fact that prophetic utterances will be made over your life, you will also receive the understanding of how it works. So when you go to your house, you will know what to do to excavate divine utterances, proclaim them, and keep moving forward. You will not be waiting for a service to move forward. You can wake up in the morning and transit. You can be in your office and transit. You can be driving in a car and transit. You can be flying on a plane and transit. So transition for you will no longer be a product of services. It will become a reality that you can command because you understand the mystery that powers them. If you don't understand how these things work, you will wait for another time when there is a service for new dawn or new dimension or new season. But if you know what I'm about to teach you, every day of your life will be a new season. This is why we teach. The excellency of the teaching ministry is to provoke transformation and empowerment so that an individual without another person can see command results. We can come here and in the midst of the worship make declarations and things happen, but it will depend on us all the times to make progress. But when we give you truth, you can cultivate that truth and become what the truth talks about. That's the excellency of the teaching ministry. And so this morning, the best way of making transition or stepping into a new dimension is by the power and the instrumentality of the Spirit and the operations of prophecy. What is the law of prophecy and how does the law of prophecy work? I give you three ways. Number one, when you understand the will of God on a matter, proclaim it, it becomes prophecy. And so when a people are ignorant about the will of God, they can't move forward. If you know where you are seated now, that God wants your story to change tomorrow, you can proclaim it now and tomorrow will be a new day. Not because you felt anything. Not because you went anywhere. You just knew what God was looking for. And the moment you knew it, or you know it, you proclaim it and it happened. I give you a scripture. 2 Kings chapter 7. Very quickly. You see what happened in that scripture. There was famine in the land. It was so bad that women began to eat their children. The Bible revealed to us that the purest form of love you will find on the face of the earth is not between husband and wife. The purest form of love you find on earth is between a mother and a child. It says, will a mother forget her suckling child? When that happens, know that the situation is out of hand. And in this situation, that was exactly what happened. It became so bad that women sat together and one tells the other, let's eat your child today, tomorrow we eat mine. And a woman was willing to give up her child to be eaten in order to survive famine and excruciating hunger. That was the situation in the land. But they met a prophet called Elisha. And Elisha knew what God wanted to do. He didn't hear a voice from anywhere. Nobody spoke to him. He knew the mind of God. And he said, by this time tomorrow, he said, a cup of barley will be sold for one shekel. Do you know what it means for national economy to turn around? This is not the situation of one man. It takes a lot of economic expertise, a lot of economic policies, a lot of economic programming to affect national economy. But a man knew the will of God. He said, by this time tomorrow, he defied time, he defied policies, he defied governmental powers, he defied the circumstances of men. So much so that a prime minister looked at him and said, listen, you are not the only person who knows God. He said, I also know one or two things about God. Even if the window of heaven were to open, this thing cannot happen. But the audacity of the prophet was born in the fact that he knew the heart of God. He said, you will see it, you will not enjoy of it. And just according to the word of the Lord, by the time the clock ticked to the next day, things began to happen. God procured deliverance from an environment where you will never expect. The salvation of a nation was predicated to the discretion of lepers. Lepers who were not part of the economic structure, lepers who were not part of the government, lepers who were rejected in society. Listen, when the will of God comes to play, even your enemy can be used to make for your progress. When the will of God comes to play, a house gear that is in your house can become the answer to 30 years of challenge. It doesn't have regard for anybody. It overrides human institutions and provokes and engenders deliverance. So much so that when you see it yourself, we know this is the thing of God. Lepers sat down and suddenly they said to themselves, why sit we here until we die? When the lepers were moving, God went to work. Four lepers whose legs were eaten up, suddenly they were walking and the enemies were hearing sounds of chariots. You know what God did, he planted trumpets in their feet. When they take one step, it was like 1,000 horses. They take another step. So when four of them were walking, it was like 40,000 horses were coming. And the enemy said, Israel have mobilized another nation to attack us. They ran away from their supply, and Israel came to carry, because one man was able to isolate the will of God. Imagine what happens if a whole family understands the will of God. Imagine what happens if a whole church understands the will of God. We will stand and proclaim, and new seasons will be opened. Everything that stops you from discerning the will of God, tonight they go down in the name of Jesus. It doesn't take anything for your story to change. If you know what God is saying about your life, whatever the enemy wants, it counts for nothing. If I ask you today, what's the will of God for your life? If you can't say it, then your answer is far. When God wants to change your story, he begins to reveal to you what his mind is. That's why we see visions. We don't see visions because God wants to show us a movie. We don't see visions because God wants to play games. We see visions, we hear the voice of God, because he's trying to show us where he's standing on the matter. And the moment we stand with him, everything will align. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The moment you take sides with the will of God, everything changes to your advantage. Tonight, you are shifting to where God is standing. How does prophecy work? Number one, discern the will of God. Vocalize the will of God, and the powers of heaven are mobilized instantly. How does prophecy work? Number two, speak as you are commanded. You will find situations that naturally appear to be impossible change dramatically, and you are wondering, where was the power of this challenge? The Bible speaking in Ezekiel 37, there was a prophet. He was carried to a valley of dry bones, and prophet was helpless in that situation. So this is not about an office. This is about divine wisdom and divine intelligence. The prophet was helpless on the matter. He saw the bones, and God asked him, mortal man, can these bones live? The prophet answered sincerely and said, Lord, only thou knowest. I know I'm a prophet, but this thing I'm seeing here, I don't think I can approach it with my office. I better keep quiet and hear what you have to say. And this bones live. He said, only thou know. When a prophet says, only thou knowest, then know that only him truly knows. And God said to him, command the bones to rise up and to receive life. When, which bone am I going to talk to? This is a bone valley. There were hundreds of thousands of bones. The wind has scattered them. Some of them have dematerialized and become sand. So what are you talking about? Just speak as commanded. I know the interview is over. You have already been rejected. And they already told you that we will get back to you. And you know what that means. But they say, prophesy as commanded. I know the government has already taken the land, and they have already willed it to somebody else. It doesn't matter the action on ground. If you can hear, you can change the situation. Speak as commanded. And the man stood up and spoke. And suddenly he began to hear a sound like an earthquake. And bones suddenly developed intelligence. Bones began to locate themselves. It doesn't matter where the wind blew it to. The wind may have blown it 100 miles away. The bone began to come back. The first question you ask yourself is, how did the bone develop intelligence to find the bone it was detached from? And for how long was that detachment? Even if the bone knows which bone to connect with, does bone work? How can the bone come to meet the other bone? All of that is for God's sovereignty to decide. But bone developed intelligence. Bones began to locate bones. And suddenly, bones connected. And the muscles that disintegrated, decayed and became sound, suddenly transmutation began to take place. Muscles, it changed from sand back to muscle, back to sinews, and it connected back to the bone, and there was an army. First, they were dead men, and God said again, prophesy
to the east wind. So this thing is from one level to another. When you didn't have food to eat, God said, prophesy. Somebody showed up with a loaf of bread. That is a sign that the bigger one is possible. I know what you are looking for is a sheep that can affect a nation. But God will first of all tell you, try it with a little one so that you can exercise your spiritual muscle. From one loaf of bread, it can become a factory of bread. From one person calling you to encourage you, it can become a sheep to another nation. It begins from one, but it doesn't stop there. And the man prophesied, and the wind came, filled them up, and suddenly they rose up. Even their status changed. They were not the men that were killed. When they rose up, they became an exceeding great army. Where were they trained? Which college did they go to for training? Which military training did they undertake? When God showed up, He didn't restore them to what they were. He restored them to what they should be. I prophesy to somebody. I came here with the word of the Lord for you tonight. Dry bones shall rise again. Dry bones shall rise again. Dry bones shall rise again. I didn't come with a message. I came to change your story. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who disappointed you. It doesn't even matter who told you, you will see. I came with a superior verdict. So long as the Lord liveth, your story changes tonight. As surely as the Lord liveth, your story changes tonight. I don't know for how long you have struggled with that ministry. I don't know for how long you have struggled with that business. I bring you the powers of life. I work. I'm showing you the mysteries that regulate this realm. When I started ministry, they told me, where you come from, they don't succeed. I said, you don't know where I came from. They told me you must be connected to a lineage of priesthood. At least your grandfather must be a preacher. Your father must be a preacher. I said, that is good. But when that doesn't happen, there are superior ways. Because I ended in the grave. I was judged on the cross. I resurrected with the Christ. My descendant now is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I have a priesthood in the heavens. The places nobody from your lineage has entered before, you will enter there by free call. In Lagos, I came to tell you there are forces beyond the territory. It doesn't begin and end with Lagos. The spirits that control this realm, even they were created. We are talking realities from the realm of the Creator Himself. He has made a commandment. He has released a verdict. And your story must change this city. It doesn't matter the powers that are in this land. You ride over them. You dominate them because it's by the Spirit of the living God that you will advance tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Please sit down.
You see, the energy level has already changed. The energy level. You have been held bound for a long time. Those chains are about to break. In the corridor of success, hard work is the least thing. Hard work is the least in the corridor of success. When you enter the realm of success, everybody must work hard because it's the least requirement. But after working hard, my brother, you will need favor. After favor, you will need mercy. There are superior forces in this realm, and until men tap into those dimensions, they cannot be commanders on the face of the earth. I don't know where situations of life have kept you, but I came to tell you, as one sent of God, your story changes tonight. Sit down, I'll use another 5 minutes. The second law that provokes new dimension is the law of the anointing. Oh God of mercy, I'm sensing something like a fire on my head. I'm sensing something like a fire. And so I know the Lord is beginning to touch some people. What you are struggling with is older than your grandfather. It has been in your bloodline for eons. And many times you try to rise up, it defies your consecration. Many times you try to stand, it breaks your resolve. Because that spirit has mastered the will of your lineage. And so he knows what to do to harness the potentials of your lineage and to short-circuit God's plan. But you see, a new fire is coming upon you now to create a new consecration that the devil cannot compromise. A new fire is coming upon you now to create a consecration. Do we have ushers here? Do we have ushers? There are about 7 of you now that God will pick out by fire, because it's about to shift you somewhere. Wherever this was, I speak as I hear by the Spirit. Wherever you are now, let that fire isolate you and shift you to the next level. I release that fire now. Let that power break. Ushers, help me with those ones quickly. I'm trying to manage time. Hallelujah.
Somebody is carrying a weight. A weight. The weight is almost bigger than you. And so it has subjugated your potential. Every gift you have, nobody can see it, because the impact of that weight has overwhelmed you. Now the hand of God comes upon you to shatter that yoke, to shatter that weight. Wherever you are, I release that fire and I break that yoke now. The spirit of prophecy comes to move people forward. But you see, there is another law called the law of the anointing. The law of the anointing comes to break yokes. It said in Isaiah 10:27, it said the yoke shall be broken, the body shall be lifted off your shoulders because of the anointing. When prophecy gives direction and moves people forward, anointing alights men of yokes. In alignment of work, so that they can grow like a man when he step into a new dimension. There is an anointing, a fresh oil that must come upon his life. If that oil does not come, the authority for dominion cannot be imparted. I speak over you tonight. To go forward in the name of Jesus, it rests upon you now.
Cover us with your glory. Oh, Lord, you like a mighty wind. Spirit of the cover us with your glory. Cover us with your glory.
How does the anointing work? Please hear this. Please hear this. I told you, I'm not just coming to minister, I'm coming to teach you what you will work with. How does the anointing work? Three ways. Number one, if you want the anointing to be activated, there are laws. There are three laws. The first law is that God must be glorified. If God is not glorified and it's about yourself, you will not see the operation of the anointing. The anointing does not come to glorify you. It comes to glorify God. In John chapter 2, from verse 3 down to verse 11, Jesus was at the marriage feast in Cana. And things were going wrong. He kept quiet. The mother came to him and said, they are out of wine. He said, woman, my time has not yet come. But the mother knew that this man can change things at any time. He said, whatever he tells you to do, do. And the people obeyed him. And I would have spoken about the law of obedience, but I don't have time. And when they obeyed his instruction, fill the water pot. And they filled it. He said, take from me, take to the governor of the feast. And when they did, the Bible said, he did his first miracle. And he told us why. He said that his glory might be made manifest. And so anybody who wants to see the anointing work in his life must insist that God receives glory. Every time you channel glory to God, the oil begins to work. The second law of the anointing is that God must be with you. He said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the reason the anointing was working was why? For God was with him. So if you want the anointing to work in the public, you must be with him in the private. If you are not with him in the private, the anointing cannot manifest in the public. It's not a cliche, it's is a reality. The third law of the anointing is that it must profit others. In Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And he began to give us a list. No one was about him. It was all about the people. For the deaf to hear, for the blind to see, for the lame to walk, for the brokenhearted to be healed. If the anointing will work in your life, it must be for the benefit of others. If you are selfish and self-centered, if you like, live on a mountain, you will not see the operation of the anointing. Go and do a 40-day fast, you will not see the operation of the anointing. If you want the anointing to work, glorify God. Let God be with you and let it be about others. You will see the dimensions that you have never seen before. I prophesy over you tonight. The oil required to break your yoke, receive that oil now. If it's not an anointing until it can break yoke. And so tonight, hear this. Two things God will do quickly in order to shift someone to a new town is that he will raise yoke breakers. Some of you, a grace will come upon you now. You will speak, doors will open. You will speak, sicknesses will go down. You will speak, and dimensions will be activated. That's why God sent me here. He sent me here to awaken men that carry graces. And I don't know the grace of God that is on your life that has been dormant. But hear this. The oil on your life is about to pour. The grace on your life is about to be awoken. Others, help me now. Every one of them carrying graces, carrying dimensions. The hand of God is coming upon them. I want to lay hands on this one. From the left to the right. From the front to the back. The God's working on life. Jesus, quickly, we are out of time. Every yoke you walked into this place with is about to go down now.
The Bible said healing, weeping may endure for the night. It said joy comes in the morning. It said our light affliction are but for a moment. It said they work for us an exceeding weight of glory. If it exceeds a moment, it is not allowed. Now I pray for you. Every crisis you came here with, every circumstantial challenge you came here with, in the name of Jesus the Lord, I command those chains to break now. I command those afflictions to break now. Every demon related infirmity, in the name of Jesus, I give them a commandment by the Spirit. Let their powers break now. Let their powers break now. I lose the grip of sickness. I lose the grip of poverty. I lose the grip of backwardness. I lose the grip of infirmity. Arise, son. Your light is come. Receive that encounter. Receive that healing now. Take the power in the name of Jesus. God does not gather us to excite us. We may be excited, but everything we do is a weapon. When they shouted in Jericho, the walls of Jericho went down. It was not about shouting for fun. It's about defeating the enemy. Everything the enemy has done in your life, they are dismantled now. They go down. Thank you, Father. We are out of time. Afflictions are being corrected. I'm seeing somebody on this row. You have something that has to do with the heart, like a palpitation causing excruciating pain, not too far from me here. You are the one, breathe in and breathe out. That affliction is gone forever. Take that power. Take that power. Take that power. It leaves you forever in the name of Jesus. Go up the back there by my right. I'm seeing somebody that is suffering from something that is related to sugar infirmity, a diabetic issue somewhere here. Lift your hands toward heaven. Go! Go in the name of Jesus. I curse that affliction. Never again you are free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Mata kabaros tabak. Veriga Paragato Mandaza Paraparina Hadabak. A door just opened for someone. I have not too long. I promise you are from Canada. That door opens now. In the name of Jesus. Every organ infection you came here with, they are cursed to their root. You are healed in the name of Jesus. My goodness. I command perfect healing. I'm seeing somebody on this middle row. It's like you have a bone challenge. I don't know if it's from an accident. There's a pain. One of you is like you can't lift your hands or something. Mama, you are the one. You can't lift it. Lift that hand. You are free. Lift it. Come out. You are free. You had a bone challenge. You couldn't lift your hand. Lift it up. You are free. It's gone forever in the name of Jesus. Gone forever in the name of Jesus. Lift that hand up. It's gone forever. It's gone forever. Somebody give the Lord a song. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. As you leave this place, the glory of the Lord will go with you. The Lord will use you as an example of His faithfulness. Amen. Where men fail, here you will shine. Amen.
because of you, protocols will be violated. The Lord has brought your horn like the horn of the unicorn. You are anointed with fresh oil. Arise, shine, your light is come. Arise, shine, your light is come. In the name of Jesus. Somebody keep the Lord a song.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.